You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and out of Greg. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
Greg, when you go to Fenway, where do you sit?
I sit right out there in the bleachers.
Okay, let me ask you one more time.
Bleachers.
Where do you sit?
Bleachers.
You sit in the effing suite, you gigantic prop.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that math make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
But I do love the Lyonnaise potatoes.
Lyonnaise.
Yeah. And the El Gratin.
They're made with Lay's.
Nice and cheesy.
Yeah.
Because you got to have the good cheese.
Most of the au gratin potatoes have cheese in them.
Right, but they're
hence
not.
Hence the right.
Now these ones have potatoes.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tandem.
Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
Okay, that's good ass kicking. I'll give him that.
Kissing.
That's what I said.
No, you said
kicking.
Sorry.
I thought I said kissing. Wow, I'm really awesome.
Oh, you're a big Eagles fan?
No, I don't care about the Eagles.
But you're like, yes, she is.
Oh, yeah, BC Eagles.
But you love.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Go put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime. Now,
let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning. Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbors.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What up? What up? Well, happy Monday. Curtis, there's a rumor that the sun might be out today. Is that possible?
Was that the worst weekend you can remember in a long time?
Yes.
I just think it's the ad nauseum, the temperature in the upper 30s or 40s, and the rain, and like in some places, the snow over the weekend. It's just, it goes
April
on.
Blows.
It goes on and on and on. It does.
Last night, I was like, I got to get outside. I got to get some, move the body. And I was like, I started walking. I was like, oh, it's not too bad. And then 5 minutes later, it just poured rain randomly for 20 minutes again.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
This is
gross.
How people get sick, too, because they think they've made it to the spring. And then they put all away their winter clothes. They walk around. Curtis, you're going to have a cold this week.
Yep. I mean,
you know what, though? That is a major myth.
I know.
People don't get sick from...
I don't want to throw science in her face first thing this morning.
You could do it.
That has nothing... Dressing warmly, dressing without a jacket has nothing to do with getting sick.
Nope.
All those years of my mom telling me I needed a jacket and I'll get sick?
That is... You've been lied to.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. You've been lied to your entire life.
Yeah.
Yep. No, it has nothing to do with that.
Don't take a shower and go outside with your hair wet?
That... Well, I don't know that. Does that
no.
Have no? That
no,
has,
it's all a myth.
Yeah, it's all
really.
Yeah,
no.
It's a similar myth to the one that was told on this show in a lead on Friday that Rory McIlroy would never win another Masters.
not a myth. It's just
true.
I was unbelievable.
Wrong. Wow,
it was unbelievable. This was going to be my lead this morning, but I have another one.
Okay,
I had no dog in the fight for this. Zero. No. Like I said, I didn't want to watch until Sunday, and I didn't. And I enjoyed. I enjoyed yesterday just as much as all those people that sat down and watched every moment, every hole. I had no dog in the fight until Shime's lead on Friday, and I left that show saying, "Let's go, Rory." And when I woke up on Saturday, and was cleaning the apartment, and I hear Santo cheering in the living room. I said, who's that? He said, Rory's crushing. Right. I said, yes, this is what we need.
Yeah, I mean, he tried to choke it away.
I mean, to be fair, I was like, oh, I was basically right.
The no, guy, don't walk this back.
No. I'm not walking anything back. I'm saying I was right. What are you talking about? I was right. On the final five holes, he had a double bogey, a bogey, and then on the final hole of the tournament, with a chance to just end it all right there, he bogeys. This guy is soft as baby poop. He's the biggest douche in sports,
okay,
and it is hilarious.
If we can, subtract the doucheness part or dinkness.
Okay.
And let's just focus on the pure golf of it. He certainly did. He hit that half-ass wedge into the creek on 13. He did his best.
That looked like me.
He did his Relax. Best to choke it away, and missing that putt on 18, which was close to gimme status.
Like, this dude had a four-stroke lead with five holes to play.
But he is only the sixth guy ever in professional golf to end up with a career grand slam. So I don't think you can call him soft as baby poop show.
Oh, I'm going to, because he didn't deserve to win the tournament. He got lucky. When you go plus one on day four of the Masters, you shouldn't be winning. You got lucky. It's like Elliot Wolf falling into Drake May. You're not actually good. You just happen to be at the right spot at the right time.
So did everybody? I didn't watch 1 second of it. Right?
I knew you. I mean, not a single hole.
Not a single hole. I had to finish up Peaky Blinders. Then I had to watch episode 3 of Mobland.
Oh,
and then
so
I
good.
Yeah. And then I watched the Bondsman.
So not a single hole of the Masters.
Not a single second.
Well, you're disqualified. You're DQ'd.
No. I'm just asking the question.
You're not allowed to participate.
No,
in the discussion.
I'm not participating. I'm just asking a simple question.
Yes.
If
we
got
DQ for lunch,
I hit a huge, massive parlay on Saturday night too
in the
UFC. Yeah, I won about a G note.
Oh,
really?
So if he got lucky, then did everybody else stink it away?
Not everybody else.
No. I mean, certainly, Bryson DeChambeau fell apart.
Talk about choking.
That was a choke, and he was the favorite, certainly, Wiggy, of some of the patrons that are there at the Masters.
Right.
But I would say that he won it outright. Like what he did on Saturday was awesome. I mean, you come out
cool
and go
on round three, like
yeah,
round
you go three,
four,
three,
he was awful. He was awful for the vast majority of Sunday. Like, he opened the tournament with a double bogey.
You're correct, but on Saturday, he out of the gate went carded three. That's extraordinary.
Good for him on Saturday, but when the pressure's the most, he crumbles every time, and he just got
lucky. But he didn't, he won. It wasn't a full crumble.
Courtney,
he stopped the crumbling.
Courtney, he had two double bogeys and three bogeys on Sunday.
I know,
he also
hit an unbelievable shot on 15.
The second shot on 15 and the approach shot on 17 were both extraordinary.
The shot on 15 was the best non-Tiger shot I've ever seen in my life.
Ooh, Curtis.
Oh, disagree. The Bubba Watson out of the woods shot?
Given what was on the line, given the pressure in that moment, the drive was not where he needed it to be. The way in which he hit that shot with that on the line what was that, within 5 feet?
Yeah.
On a par five on the final day of the Masters was unbelievable. But missing I understand Shime's point. I don't agree. But that shot is an all-timer if he eagles. The fact that he just got a birdie on the hole negates the fact that that shot was that great.
Yeah.
Because what's the difference? If you lay it up, you chip it on, and you put it in, it's the same thing. You get a birdie.
Yeah, but also his approach shot to win it in the playoff hole on 18 was extraordinary as well.
Awesome. Absolutely great.
So.
My issue watching was I love the human side of it. I love seeing great players that are impacted by the moment and seeing them overcome that. But what Tiger provided was a guy that would win. Whereas they used to compete against Tiger, now they compete against the course, and I don't find competing against a course as interesting as competing against an all-time great.
Can I also say, Rory, and I agree with Shime, Rory comes across as a dink. I don't like Rory because I think he presents himself as thinking he's morally better than everybody else. At the end, when he hugged his wife and then left his wife and daughter and kind of walked the victory alone. Yes, hated it. Right, hated it.
He's such a spoon.
The intimacy seems to be lacking between he and the missus.
I wonder why.
I don't know if they fully recovered from the issue that they may have had in their marriage or not.
The other woman he hugged at the end, right before going into the clubhouse.
Who was that?
Maybe her sister.
Oh, that was her sister? Okay.
Maybe. I think because those two hugged when he won it. But that was a more intimate hug than he gave his wife. But usually, like when Scheffler wins it, he and it's Meredith, I believe, his wife, like walk together, hand in hand. They're both crying. Usually they have the families. They're holding their kids. Rory, like, gave them a half-assed hug and then walked alone.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. All right.
Still happy Shine lost, though.
Looks like he's hugging his daughter pretty good there.
Right. That was it.
All right. Well, the 89th Masters
89th.
In the history books, and Wiggy has still yet to watch a single hole.
What's the next big golf event?
You're proud of it. Next one would be the British Open. Am I correct about that?
I thought you were going to say Happy Gilmore, too.
I believe I think the next major is the British Open. All right. And then you'll have the U.S. Open in July. Or am I wrong about that, Shime?
I got to double check. Might be normally the other way around. British Open is in... I'll double check.
Right. Is the U.S. Open at Bethpage, or is that the Ryder? The Ryder Cup is at Bethpage.
Correct. The U.S. Open this year, I believe, is at Quail Hollow.
Okay. PGA is at Quail Hollow, and that's May 15th, so that's the next one.
Okay.
And then after that, we have the match at Granite Links.
Yeah, don't forget about the match at Granite
Links. That's the next big one.
Yeah.
That's going to be all-timer.
As long as my tooth situation is solved. I have to have a tooth pulled, and that may interfere with we may have to delay the match.
How is it? Tooth issue affecting your ability to play golf.
It affects my swing. I was swinging a little bit in my living room over the weekend, like Courtney loves, and the tooth was bothering me.
And people are calling me soft.
May have to push the match till late summer.
We had three golf
balls. Look who's scared.
We had three golf balls on our coffee table all weekend. So what is this? Choking hazard for Harry?
Yeah. Match is on. It'll happen in mid-May or something like that. And Curtis, is the theme of this Red Sox season... avoid the sweep. Is that the theme of the season for the Red Sox?
If not for Crochet, they would be effed. I mean, I can't say that I was barreling through that beautiful weekend series with the White Sox, but they are. I don't know about Casas' future. We thought about Devers, but I don't know what you do with him. He can't hit. He is a major issue on this team. A lot of Sox fans hoping for Roman Anthony. Potential call-up to play some first, or maybe moving Devers to first and, you know, DHing someone else. But the offense was putrid all
weekend. Well, certainly a costly error on his part. And I don't know. It's a long season, so I won't panic
yet.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody's panicking.
They certainly are not off to the start that some thought they were going to be off to.
No, but the rest of the division, they're a game or two games out of first place. Yeah. So it's not like the division leader is so far ahead.
This is Zach. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, guys. Can I get a
what's up?
Hey, Shime, I could not agree with you more, man. I mean, every single one.
Guy.
Sorry.
Zach,
sorry.
You can't drop the F-bombs at 6:13 in the morning.
It's passionate about
it. Was not awake for that.
I mean, I've been awake since 10 o'clock last night. I work for a construction company, I'm running on like nothing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he crumbled, but he held on to win it. So there's some credit credit that has to be given there. We have a lot to get through this morning, including our leads in about 10 minutes. And then they set it at 7:20 this morning. And we will go over what Rory McIlroy said after joining the Career Grand Slam Club. Among other things, at 7:20 on this morning's show, the news with Courtney coming up at 7:45. That includes influencers in the news and why some who are or were at Coachella over the weekend let their phone eat first are outraged by what it cost them. So we will get to that. and the rest of the news coming up. Curtis, did you go to Coachella this weekend? Normally that's a trip you take, right?
I did, but my dad and I just watched it at Brigham. We did a live stream. Okay. It was awesome. They really, woof, what a show.
When T-Pain put on a performance.
When Bernie went on that stage, I melted.
And we are always accepting Hill Notes. So leave a voice note on any topic at any time on the Odyssey app. And hopefully you have downloaded the app, and that would mean that you could listen to us whenever you want from wherever you happen to be. You don't have to worry about listening on the radio or streaming the show. You can just crank the Odyssey app up and crank the show all morning long, and you can leave a voice note on any topic at any time. There's a microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and we will assemble and then play the very best Hill Notes at about 9:20 on today's show. But to get us started, here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. Yes, Rory McIlroy has completed his career Grand Slam. It took a one-hole playoff with Justin Rose at Augusta, but he got it done, winning his first Masters. The Celtics end the season with a win against the Hornets, 93-86. The final top six of the roster sat this one out, with Peyton Pritchard coming up big with 34 points. So as the second seed in the East, we wait to see who wins the play-in game between the Magic and the Hawks tomorrow. Game one for the season is set for Sunday, April 20th.
Wiggy, do you care who you get? And this doesn't matter?
No, to me it doesn't matter. I think that's why I said the question becomes Jaylen Brown and whether or not you play him in the first round. I don't think it matters, because whether it's the Hawks, Chicago, Miami, and I forget who the other team is.
Between the Hawks and the Magic, though, I'd rather the Hawks.
Like, yeah, but
they
haven't
played that well against Orlando this season. So
right, but are you worried in a series?
I mean, as worried as I could be, I guess.
I'm not worried one bit. Even if Jaylen Brown doesn't play, I still think they win this series. Whoever they play in the first round, they win it. They win it in five games.
All right. The Bruins beat the Penguins in Pitt 4-1 for their second-to-last game of the season. Lindholm, Geeky, Lauko, and Lysell scored in this one, with Korpisalo in goal. He had 23 saves in the win. The Red Sox beat the White Sox 3-1 yesterday, avoiding the sweep. Garrett Crochet had a good start, striking out 11 over his 7 1/3 innings. The Sox now in Tampa Bay to take on the Rays. First pitch at 7:05 with Tanner Houck getting the start. You can listen to the game right here on EEI. Brooksy joining Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. You can kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:05 for the MassMutual pregame show. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Spring is here. Ham it up with spiral sliced ham at Shaw's and Star Market. Just in time for your Easter feasts, spiraled sliced ham bone-in is now on sale for 99 cents a pound. That's limited to 2 per customer while supplies last. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
41 degrees in Boston. It's actually going to be nice out. 64 with sun this afternoon and down.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Wiggy. Unicorn on Team Wiggins when it comes to sitting Jaylen Brown.
Right.
At least until it really matters.
Right. If you can't beat Orlando, Atlanta, Miami, or Chicago without Jaylen Brown and everybody else, then that's really on your team. You know what I mean? I think Jaylen, you need for the Eastern Conference final, because even in the second round, if you play the Knicks, I still think you can get away with not necessarily having him if everybody else is healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like you're swapping out Jaylen Brown this playoff season for Porzingis from last season. So
it's just concerning, because it feels like it crept up. Like it was, I know they were shooting it up or whatever they were doing, and it sounds like from the outside at least that it got worse.
Right.
It's not getting better.
Right.
So I guess the concern ends up being, is Jaylen Brown not available to you throughout the entire playoff run?
Well, I think based on what he said, he would be able to go even if he had to gut it out at 80-85%. So if I'm going to get an 80-85% Jaylen Brown, I would want that to be in a round that is more important rather than maybe wasting that 80% on him in a first round. And then by the time you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, he might be down to like 70%.
And I have to say, great time for Wiggy's Whoopi to be the alpha.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yep. Yeah. This is all on him. Yeah. You know, this is on him to make sure that he goes out there and starts fast and he finishes strong.
Okay. Well, Celtics will begin the playoffs on Sunday and find out who they will face after the play-in game, which is happening on...
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay, yep. Excellent. All right.
And by the way, the Lakers, fourth best odds to win the championship.
Well, not they slid.
Curtis, may have sneakily been your best Curtspiracy yet. If they get there, I don't know of a better Curtspiracy that will have come to fruition.
And thanks to the Clippers in overtime, they don't have to face Golden State, so they got the Timberwolves in the first round. So I got to say... Okay. Looking good.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to on a Monday morning, and I believe it is school vacation week, a little bit early, so that means that the traffic should be maybe a little bit less than it normally is. Huh?
Next week.
I think it's I think it's this week. I think maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I know Jesse Newton is next week.
Okay. I was shocked because I was speaking with a friend of mine who has young kids who said their school vacation week is this week, but maybe it depends
this
on
week,
school.
Next week.
So I may have prematurely told you that the traffic will not be as bad as it normally is. I mean, does it matter?
No.
I guess
no.
It doesn't matter anymore. The traffic, I don't care what time of the day it is, 7 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., the traffic is an absolute cluster F every single day, everywhere you go.
It's so awful.
I don't know what we do about that. Did you have any submissions on the Masters Hardos over the weekend?
I did. Okay. And the amount of women that sent me their husbands or partners sleeping while watching made my heart happy.
Are we going to take a look at those later on today?
Okay. Yeah, tell me the time and I'll make sure that Mitch has them.
Okay, all right. We will get to those a little bit later. And Shime, you're taking full abuse on the text line. You deserve it, by the way.
I don't deserve anything. I was right. He's a spoon, and he crumbled on Sunday, which is exactly what I said he would do.
Here's a 617 text on the Subaru of New England text line. I don't understand how any human being could have watched yesterday, knowing the story of Rory McIlroy, knowing the stakes and the pressure, and come away with the take that came out of Shime's mouth. Give me a break. He won and overcame adversity the whole day through.
The story? What are we talking about? This guy has been handed everything since he came into the PGA. He was deemed the next Tiger Woods. By the way, he wasn't. And he's like worshipped by people that loosely follow the PGA and people that cover the sport. And it makes no sense to me.
We will probably get to it during They Said It at 7:20. But just a brief discussion on it now. Weird that he didn't say a word to Bryson DeChambeau during the entire round together yesterday, or do you like that as a competitor?
I mean, it's just more dinkish tendency from Rory, but that's fine, whatever. You can do what you want, I don't care. Yeah. I would like to talk some mess, but you know, that's just me.
So during the match, you'll be trash talking the entire time.
Oh, the whole time, okay. Greg. It will be nonstop.
I may not say anything to you during the entire nine-hole match, just so you're aware.
You better back it up.
I think that will get more into his head than his trash talking it now.
You got to talk the trash. You better be able to walk the walk.
Rory did look pale, though, going into the playoff hole. Like he
Are you like Mahomes?
Yeah, like, no, well.
Was he sick?
That was never confirmed, Curtis. Right. And we did hear Travis maybe was under the weather.
Wait. We have to have something confirmed that someone was sick when there was no evidence? Wouldn't there have to be a report that he was sick?
I thought he looked sick.
So Rory
I stand
was
by
sick?
That. Only Curtis would bring up, like, a take from 4 months ago that he disagreed with.
The man holds everybody accountable.
Wait. I will not get into the substance of the comment, but Courtney alluded to something from months ago before the show related to something we may hear later on.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
The whispers. that I've been hearing. I was hearing whispers all weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I am, and it's double source whispers.
Okay. Are we going to get them?
Double source, you can go.
I don't want to step on the turf of Rich Keefe, but.
All right.
There are Bruins whispers that are reaching a loud crescendo.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
Uh-oh.
I think it's a bomb.
Is this going to bring back up the Rich Keefe Courtney
Curtis just did that.
No,
so.
it's in a different realm, but
all right.
It's the whispers are getting louder.
All right.
So
I'm kind of curious to hear what the
you should make it your lead.
Should I
make it my lead?
Yeah, you can't dangle that, and then we're all going to be thinking about it now.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I could.
And then if you,
I mean, it's only whispers,
right? But I guess,
double sourced whispers.
All right.
And the sourcing is impeccable.
Yeah, but it's whispers. That's
Greg,
all it is.
Greg, I mean, it's fantastic.
Who does it involve?
It involves, I guess, I think one of two people is who it involves. And so,
all right.
That's therein lies the rub.
Mm.
It's one of two.
So stuff is now starting to trickle out about.
I'm told Wednesday is a huge day.
What went on this season?
When it comes to this franchise. Ooh. Wednesday. Wednesday is a huge day, I'm told.
Okay.
But I'll get to it. You want me to do it as a lead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a tease.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get underway with today's leads.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for the lead.
Time, great one from legendary artist. That is Tom Petty and The Waiting. And leads this morning brought to you by Subaru of New England and the Love Spring event, which is here now. Spring into your next adventure in a 2025 Subaru. Find your authorized Subaru retailer when you visit SubaruofNewEngland.com. Good morning, Shime.
Yeah, good morning, Greg. Over the weekend, it was announced that the University of Tennessee will be moving on from Nico Iamaliava.
I love it.
Yeah,
I think it's the right decision.
Okay.
Because colleges have to set a standard when it comes to players demanding money.
It's a double lead.
You were going to do the same lead?
Similar.
I considered it also. So just to backtrack in case some missed it, dude was basically on an NIL holdout.
Correct.
As a college quarterback.
That is correct.
Like, can we pump the brakes a little bit, please?
And I think what needs to happen now is that schools need to continue to do this. You can't just kind of roll over and die because the players will continue to ask for more and more and more. So you had to draw the line somewhere. And so I think Tennessee was almost backed into a corner in this, and they made the right decision. They were like, you know what? Forget it. You're out the door. We'll move on to the next guy because there's going to be somebody else that wants to come up, and we can use your NIL money now to pay other people. Mm. And so I think this was the absolute right move by Tennessee. I get Nico wanting to ask for as much money as he feels he's worth. I understand that. But in a wild, wild west that is the NCAA NIL right now, this is the right move by Tennessee.
Mm.
The House voting right now on the NCAA situation where they will regulate things, will that help against guys
probably
doing this
not,
in the future?
Because I think it's like that is like they're limited the rosters and.
But
guys
couldn't hold out for more money because it's capped?
No, the roster size is capped. So it'll go from a roster size of like 120 to 105, but then they'll actually be able to go from 85 scholarships to 105 scholarships, so you can have all 105 on scholarships. So there's a lot of stuff. I don't think it – can I – Curtis, you mind if I leapfrog you?
Wiggs, it's all you.
And get to – because
Courtney calls it something else, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Jump frog. You mind if I jump frog you?
Thank you.
I get what Tennessee did. And I understand that, but we're all here because of what the colleges are doing. The reason why he's doing this is because Carson Beck, who was mid last year, got $4 million to go to Miami. So if you're Nico or you're Nico's advisors, college scholarships are basically year to year, because when the season's over, you know what the college could do to a player? They could sit him down and go, hey, we think it's best that you probably jump in the portal because there's nothing here for you. So they can move on from a player. When Nico,
but that's what the college athletes wanted. Like the college athletes.
Yeah, but they were doing this before. This was even before the NILs. That scholarships were year to year. When I even played, if you weren't doing what they want, they can move on. What the colleges have done, and it's the market. If Miami's willing to give, the Hurricanes are willing to give Carson Beck $4 million, and Nico's advisors are going, well, wait a second, you're better than him or you're equal to him, and they go to Tennessee, we want to negotiate a new deal because it's basically year to year with a scholarship. Tennessee has the right to say no, and then Nico has the right to say, okay, I'm going to jump in the portal and see if I can find $4 million from another school out there because they are paying guys like that. And so that's the world of sports we live in, because guess what? If a coach wants more money, he can go get it. If the GMs that they have now want more money from another school, they can go get it. So why is it all of a sudden a big deal when a player does it,
coaches have been doing it forever? I side with Shime on this, and it's probably an old head take, but you're a college athlete, and I don't think you should be holding out when it comes to spring practice and a spring game to get more money. But he wasn't technically holding out. He was there
all off season working out and doing everything. He missed a couple practices at the end. So he had been.
But doesn't this just, Wiggy, isn't this just free market? If you're good enough,
yeah,
then the teams will wait for you. If you're not, they'll say, see you later.
Bingo. That's why and some people believe NIL has ruined college sports, because I'm with Greg. Like, I think that if I'm a student at that school, I'm like, F you, you're holding out to get more money. And just going back to the House versus NCAA, I just looked it up and it does say, in the new era, which could begin as soon as July 1st if the House settlement is approved, schools will share a capped amount of revenue with athletes, while the NIL clearinghouse attempts could curtail certain big money offers from booster clubs. So if this were to happen, then there would be a capped amount of money that...
It would be like a salary cap in the NFL. It's an attempt at parity is what it is.
To me, this just defeats the point of NIL, though. Wasn't the point of NIL so that they could use their name, image, and likeness to go out to companies, like when Spencer Rattler did a deal with Cane's Chicken and stuff like
that? Yeah, it was so they could make some money, but it wasn't...
Like Whitney does with Quazo.
I don't make money.
I don't think the intent was that whichever school had the wealthiest boosters would be able to buy themselves a national championship over and over and over again.
But see, that's the difference, though. The NIL, it's more about the collective that the schools have, the monies that the school has from the booster. So a school like where I went, Georgia... They have enough money, and like their collective is $20 million. So now they can go out and give a player $3, $4 million, where maybe BC's collective might only be $5 million. But that's not Georgia's fault. It's the fact that BC's boosters don't believe in the football program.
But if you want football to be essentially five teams that have the wealthiest boosters that pay every year to get the best players, then you're fine with that.
But
I'm
that's
not fine
basically
with that.
What college football's been for my entire life.
Right.
I mean, look at Ohio State, right? So last year, for the fiscal year of 2024, in only ticket sales for football games, $65 million. That's before you get a dime from ABC, ESPN, CBS, all of that. In what world are the people that are creating that revenue given just a scholarship that they're not going to use?
Right, and regular students complaining. Hey, you know how much money these schools are bringing in on the back of athletes?
I'm not saying regular students
are
complaining.
So your cafeteria that you go in as a regular student to eat in is beautiful, or your gymnasium, your workout place at BC, I don't know wherever it is, like the one that the regular students use.
Yeah, it used to be the Plex, not great.
Right, but
no AC.
The new ones are built off the back of especially football players because they bring in the most money for these schools.
Okay, Shime, excellent lead to start this morning.
Thank you.
We have to take a quick break, but we will have a lead from Curtis coming up. Curtis, topic, subject, tease?
We had a good powwow beforehand, but I am unsure of how to use that one, so I'm going to do a statement that in one's absence, when your dominance grows without being under the limelight, it proves that you were the greatest, and it just relates to the Masters this weekend.
Okay. All right. So the rest of this morning's leads coming up next.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Well, good morning and hello, and thank you to those who are watching this show early this morning on YouTube or on Twitch. And just go to Twitch, follow WEEI, and watch this show. And this show on Twitch is presented every day by Springer's Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, then you gotta visit my team at Springer's Jewelers in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. The best prices in New England. Visit springersjewelers.com. And a reminder that you can listen to this show every day on the Odyssey app, and thank you to those who do. And while you're listening on the Odyssey app, you can leave a voice note on any topic. So we have discussed the Masters and Rory McIlroy getting himself into the Career Grand Slam Club this morning. We have talked about Jaylen Brown and how long you keep Jaylen Brown out. We have talked about NIL and what is going on or what went on with Tennessee and their quarterback who was a holdout, and all of those great topics for Hill Notes. So leave one now, and we will play the best Hill Notes coming up at 9:20 on today's show. Oh, and 1 week from today, believe it or not, we will bring you all of the excitement of the 129th running of the Boston Marathon from virtually the finish line at the Capitol Grill on Boylston Street, and that is brought to you by Sitco. So all of the excitement of another Marathon Monday, although the weather looks, I guess the weather looks good for the runners, not so great for those that are watching, Curtis. Is that correct on Monday?
I saw 55 and sunny.
Okay, all right, good. All right, I forgot what the sun looks like, but I guess we'll be able to see it today, I guess.
So. It's going to be out there as we speak.
Okay, all right. Well, Monday, 6 a.m., we will bring this show to you from the Capitol Grill, as we have done since I arrived here. Nearly 6 years ago, or over 6 years ago. Curtis, good morning. Your lead?
Good morning. So Rory McIlroy yesterday officially became the sixth man to win the career Grand Slam, winning majors of all four kinds, Masters, PGA, U.S. Open, and the Open. It just put into perspective just how dominant Tiger was. The most dominant athlete of my lifetime, it's not close. More dominant than Jordan, more dominant than Brady, more dominant than Kobe.
Ooh.
The only comp is Babe Ruth, but he really doesn't count because he only played against guys that sold insurance. So what Tiger did is between June 18th and April 5th of 2000 and 2001, which is 291 days, he had all majors consecutively. So what we're talking about is in a career Jack Nicklaus, in a career Rory McIlroy, of winning, I think Mickelson has it, maybe I'm wrong, maybe Mickelson doesn't, but those two guys among Gene Sarazen and Arnold Palmer and all the rest, they did it over the course of a career. Tiger did it in a row. Like, that is like Babe Ruth having more home runs than the rest of the American League combined. What Tiger was is a standalone figure in the history of golf. I was watching yesterday. I miss the dominant performer who intimidates as opposed to the course. And I think it was very human how Rory reacted. I thought it was great television seeing him continually pee down his leg and find a way to get the pants back on. But I do prefer the dominance. And this is why in all sports, whether it's Mahomes or Jordan or whatever, the Yankees, you always want to have an all-time great as much as possible because it just makes the television better. We all love seeing the comebacks. We like seeing, but we're defined by what we do against the best. And
yeah,
the biggest star, I thought, yesterday was the course.
Now, Wiggy is going to have an issue with what you just said based on what he was saying to Courtney and I. I think, off air on Friday. Mm-hmm. And that is, Curtis is suggesting that the athletic performance of Tiger Woods is the greatest athletic performance of all time. You don't believe that those who are on the PGA Tour are athletes.
No.
And you were all over the fact that Freddie Couples,
right,
on Thursday was able to card 2 under or whatever he,
right,
whatever he went out and shot on opening day of the Masters.
Right.
And he said the fact that somebody in their 60s was able to do that was proof to you,
right,
that these guys are not athletes.
Right. Well, when you got a guy that's 60 years old competing competing with guys that are 24, 25, 28, 34, whatever the age is, it's like, wait a second here. That's why I always go back to Gretzky. Gretzky wasn't, you know, competing against, as a 28-year-old, a bunch of 60-year-olds and doing these type, putting up these type of numbers.
I mean, I think you're just a hater.
But, Craig, anybody who could, Shime is, how old are you, Shime?
I'm 34.
34. Greg, you're 57 or whatever.
58.
Yep.
I look like I'm 31.
Oh, you
I'm
look like
frequently.
You're 31.
And I just want to let you know, November, I already have the plans in place for 60 Junior birthday party.
There's a chance.
You don't celebrate him after 50, Curtis. Just
to
be clear.
Yeah, we do. Yes,
no, we
do.
All right,
there's a chance that you're going to mop the golf course with Shime.
Yeah.
And a month or so,
yeah,
as somebody who is 20-something years older than him.
Uh-huh.
So what happened to Shine?
Do you feel the same way about boxing? Because you've got guys like Floyd Mayweather Jr. who's out there, you know, almost 50, and
Floyd Mayweather. When's the last time Floyd Mayweather fought a real boxer?
He did like a year ago.
Who?
Oh, what about Mike Tyson? I mean,
when's the last time
Mike Tyson looked great?
Honest question for the room.
I'm just saying, if they can still compete in the boxing ring.
When's the last time Floyd Mayweather
competed? I don't know. I'd have to look up the date.
I think his last fight was maybe Manny Pacquiao. Like 15 years ago.
No, he's competed before that.
His last legitimate fight was Conor McGregor, and that was probably, you know,
2023.
Yeah. I mean, stop it. No.
So I would just say this, though. Wouldn't you guys agree that the collection of golfers were in better shape than the Red Sox yesterday? Like, if you're watching baseball or
generally
golf.
Yeah.
I mean, and the other thing is, I understand your point, Wiggy, but what made Tiger great is the same thing that made Jordan great. If Tiger was competing against Rory and the first hole happened as it did, he never gets a chance to get back into contention. He would have taken that lead and it would have been over. Tiger would have imposed his will in a way that is so foreign to everybody else in that sport. And that's what made it such great television. If you gave Tiger an opening, like doubling the first and having Bryson all of a sudden come back and tie for the lead, if that's Tiger and not Bryson, he wins that tournament. And you can always make that analogy. I mean, Tom Brady won a Super Bowl at 43.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that football players aren't athletes?
No. But Tom Brady was great at 43, right? And Tom Brady was like a rarity in the sense that he could still compete at that level. I think golfers, what they do isn't easy. I can't do it. Those guys are the best in the world at what they do. Right? They're the best skill set that they have.
But it's not an athletic performance,
it's a great,
according to you.
We sit in, we go down this road all the time. You want to say that they're athletes, but yet you want to say that somebody who drives NASCAR is not an athlete, or somebody who bowls is not an athlete.
But using this description, like Michael Phelps does something none of these people could do. Like swimming at that pace, and like you have to be in a shape that even the greatest hockey player can.
Yeah, being in great shape doesn't mean you're a great athlete.
But you just said it. But if not being in great shape means you're not.
Not being in great shape. Like, look at people who run the marathon.
See, I think it's incredible what Freddie Couples did. Like,
yeah, the fact that
Bernhard Langer, who was almost 60.
I thought SVP had to remove himself a bit from Bernhard on Friday. A little much from him about Bernhard Langer.
But Bernhard almost made the cut.
They talked about that incessantly. Like, who cares about Bernhard Langer?
All right. Curtis, interesting lead from you. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will get to the rest of today's leads next.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.